and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely blessed day. And you're back with us, Dad, today. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I spent the weekend on Saturday and Sunday up in Chicago, so that was exciting. And we had a good weekend. My friend Mancal Mueller from the ABC, big NBC network up there, so that was a lot of fun. And so one of the questions his wife was asking me, I'm going to start off with this story because this is a big deal. They have two 14-year-old daughters, twins, and the fraternal twins. And what was interesting, they're being pressured now in school to get the Gardasil shot. You think, well, why would you start off on a story like this? Well, it's a big story, guys. I mean, the Gardasil shot is a mess. I mean, it causes premature ovarian failure. That means it basically makes you go into menopause at a very young age, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. Your ovaries basically just dry up and die. In some cases, not in every case. But again, it's being used by the Eugenics New World Order program to allow a reduction in the population in fertility. Now, let me give you some inappropriate placebos and comparisons that were done with this Gardasil. Number one, a placebo is supposed to be an inert substance, looks like it's the drug being tested. But in the Gardasil clinical trials, Merck used a neurotoxic aluminum adjuvant called AAHS instead of using inert saline placebo. In other words, it gave them an aluminum adjuvant with the Gardasil to mask the symptoms that were going to occur. In other words, they know that aluminum is a reaction in the body like that. So they gave them the aluminum instead of saline to cause a reaction so they could say, oh, by the way, there was no reaction from the Gardasil shot because it was the same as the aluminum adjuvant. That's completely unethical. Number two, among girls and women who received the vaccine, and among girls and women who received this, and it's obviously 2.3% in both groups experienced conditions indicative of systemic autoimmune disorders shortly after receiving the Gardasil shot. That's insanely high. Number three, multiple scientific studies associated aluminum not just with autoimmune disease, but with autism, Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's disease. Number four, Merck lied to study participants, falsely saying the clinical trials were not safety studies. Okay, that the vaccine had already been found to be safe, and it was not, and that the placebo was an inert saline solution. Totally lied about it. When Merck conducted clinical trials for its next HPV vaccine formulation, Gardasil 9, it used Gardasil as the placebo in the control groups, again relying on the lack of an inert placebo to mask safety signals. The 500 micrograms of aluminum in Gardasil 9 are more than double the amount of aluminum in Gardasil. This raises the question whether Gardasil 9's heavy reliance on the Gardasil trials for comparison is justifiable. In other words, they used their own product, a prior product that they had approved, as a placebo for their new product. I mean, it's ridiculous. And they're both steeped with aluminum. The World Health Organization states that using a vaccine rather than an inert substance as a placebo creates a methodological disadvantage, and also notes that it may be difficult or impossible to assess vaccine safety properly without a true placebo. But this was done on purpose because there's a lot of money in Gardasil. There's billions and billions and billions. Injured participants complained that Merck rebuffed their attempts to report adverse side effects. Half, 49.6% of the clinical trial subjects who had received Gardasil reported serious medical conditions within 7 months. Guys, are you listening to me? Almost 50% of the trial subjects reported serious medical conditions. To avoid classifying these injuries as adverse events, Merck dismissed them as new medical conditions. Unbelievable. The median age of cervical cancer death is 58 years. Gardasil targets millions of healthy pre-adolescents and teens for whom the risk of dying from cervical cancer is practically zero. Annual deaths from cervical cancer in the U.S. are 2.3 out of 100,000. In the Gardasil clinical trials, there were 40 deaths in the groups exposed to either the vaccine or the aluminum-containing placebo or solution-containing polysorbate 80 and borax. I mean, are you kidding me? With 76 million children vaccinated at an average cost of $420 for the three-shot Gardasil series, the cost saving one American life from cervical cancer amounts to about $18.3 million. By contrast, the value of a human life, according to the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Vaccine Compensation Fund, is $250,000, the maximum amount that the government program will award for vaccine-related deaths, which they admit happens on a regular basis, and they paid out $4 billion for these horrible side effects and deaths already. they can't. Then they say vaccines don't cause any injuries as they pay out $4 billion to the people who have permanently vaccine-injured children and dead kids. This is nuts. And so, yes, that's a good question that Mancow's wife asked me about the Gardasil vaccine. So I sent her this link. I'm also going to send it and post it on the Health Master's website. But it's really, really important that we all know that there's some serious side effects associated with the Gardasil vaccine, and we really, really, really need to avoid it. By the way, I don't know what the heck's going on in Syria. I mean, now Syrian Kurds are looking to Assad for protection after the U.S. pullout. The Syrian Kurds are also tying together now with the Iraqi Kurds. So what we've done here, and don't get me wrong, I don't think we should have ever been in these situations. Some reason, Mr. Trump has decided to massively escalate what's going on in Turkey and Syria in the Middle East right now, along with Iraq. Maybe this is to bring in a heated exchange with Iran. Don't know. All I know is this. We've got a mess going on in the Middle East. Our troops were even shelled over the weekend. I mean, this is becoming a major, major mess with Turkey coming in and heating up the entire region. Now, I do know this. Turkey was heavily involved in the narcotics trade coming out of Afghanistan. I mean, heavily. Many, many, many of the drugs and the heroin coming out of Afghanistan and the raw opiates were being processed and turned into heroin in Turkey. And Turkey had a major rift with a group of people running the narcotics last year because apparently they weren't getting a big enough cut. That's my speculation. Something else, who knows? But what ended up happening is now our relations with Turkey are pretty much at an all-time low. And the problem with the Turkey and the Turkey army is this. These boys don't play. They're the ones that are responsible for the Armenian genocide in World War I, in which hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Armenians were killed by the Turkish army in their attempt to, quote, relocate them out of the country. These are Christians, by the way. And so this is a major problem that we have right there in that Middle East. So my philosophy is this. It doesn't involve us. We should have never been there. But because of this project of overthrowing all of these nations in the Middle East that we started 20 years ago, we're still neck deep in this mess. So what in the world are these clowns doing? What are they trying to pull? What are they trying to prove by now escalating this war in Turkey? I mean, not in Turkey, it's in Syria. What Trump should have done, instead of making this big, huge announcement, he's withdrawing all of the American troops, he should have just gradually, instead of telegraphing what he was going to do and giving a tell, he should have just easily and simply start removing troops out of Syria. That's all he had to do. He didn't have to announce this and tell Turkey to come on in. He didn't have to do any of this stuff. He could have just said, look, start pulling the troops back. You know, let's say we have 5,000. Bring 1,000 back every week. Just bring them on back. Bring them on back. Bring them on back. Get them out of the country and be done with this. And then he could say, if the one's all over with, by the way, 6 months ago, we withdrew our troops out of Turkey, or withdrew our troops out of Syria, and we've allowed this situation to settle down. But going in there giving a big green light and saying, basically telling Turkey, get ready, get set, go, it was one of these things that it creates a giant mess, you know, in this situation. Now Trump is basically telling his voters that they're coming after me because I'm trying to protect you. Wait a minute. Donald Trump's a value voters. They're coming after me because I'm fighting for you. All right? Breitbart story posted on the website. President Donald Trump rallied supporters on Saturday during a speech to valued voters as a Democrat-led impeachment inquiry continued. The president spoke to the religious conservatives at the Value Voters Summit in Washington, D.C., hosted by the Family Research Council. Okay, let me stop here for a second. Let's talk about red flag gun laws that Trump's been pushing. Let's talk about those. Let's talk about Shabbat, which his daughter has been pushing. Let's talk about, you know, increased and enhanced background checks, which they've been pushing in Washington. Let's talk about the coalition led by gay Marco Rubio, the bubble boy. Let's talk about that and how Trump is pushing all these incentives. Let's talk about all of that. So who's he talking to? The Christian voters. You know, it's interesting to me. Sam Donaldson said this weekend that what the Trump voters want, they want white America to come back, and they want to have white America back. You know, guys, here's the thing. you know, I don't know what to think. Yesterday I'm driving through Chicago on the way to the airport, and there's a whole group of Muslims, you know, walking in full Muslim attire, you know, down the sidewalk. And I just, I thought to myself, wait a minute. Why are you guys not integrating? Why are you guys doing this? Why are we destroying the very fabric of our society? And so we have to ask ourselves this question. You know, if a person comes to the United States of America, why are they not willing to become Americans? You know, when my mom came over from Germany in 52, and she left the ravaged, just desolate, you know, just horrible Germany that had been bombed of Bolivia. And she left. She came to the United States, and she was happy to get out of that mess. She was happy to learn about the Constitution. She was happy to learn English. She was happy to be relocated and find another life, you know, and become an American. Why in the world can't these Muslims or these other people from these other countries that are coming into the United States do that? Well, it's very simple why they can't do it. Because they don't want to. You know, George Soros, you know, remember what he said a few months ago? A couple years ago? He said the United States must stop resisting the orderly decline of the dollar and the coming global currency and the New World Order. This was what Soros said. In the video, this is posted on the website, George Soros talks about the creation of the New World Order. He discusses the need for a managed decline of the U.S. dollar, and he talks at length of the global need for a true world currency. I mean, this guy is a Rothschild cutout. He is a Rothschild core to the core to the core, and he is pushing through the international banking cartels this New World Order. And, you know, it's always funny to me, Austin. Every time you try to figure out who these clowns are, you try to figure out who's doing this or doing that, it always has the same common denominator, these Sabbatine Kabbalists. And it's all based on what the Rothschilds did with the formation of the Illuminati, with Jacob Frank. All of this stuff is based on these clowns and what they did. This unbelievable just wanting to have their New World Order and bringing in their, basically, their demon-possessed person from the Third Temple. And this is when it says in the book of Thessalonians that this demon-possessed person, this Antichrist, is going to come in and say that he is God. He's going to announce it from the Third Temple. I mean, what the heck? And then when some Democrats actually go out and they try to say something against what's going on, like, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, you know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of hers, but she's probably one of the only people out there who says truth every once in a while. The New York Times, Rothschild-owned, controlled, smears Tulsi Gabbard, you know, head of the Democratic debate. Why? She's asking questions she's not supposed to ask. Guys, it's so interesting to me. We got Trump saying now he's being attacked because he's telling the truth and trying to protect his voters and do what they ask. But in essence, he's being also controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. And we are like the only show that I can find, maybe there's a few others, that are talking about this group of people, this international cartel of bankers and perverts and druids and weirdos who control both sides of the narrative. And when somebody gets a little bit too far out of either direction, and they're not, you know, they're not going down the middle, basically doing what they're supposed to do as far as slamming the Democrats or slamming the Republicans, they're quickly taken off the air and they're marginalized. That's why our show was pulled off of YouTube almost 2 years ago now. We were one of the first ones they yanked down because we were about as politically incorrect as it can get. And guys, I don't care anymore. I mean, we're watching the decline of our country, the decline of our dollar. I mean, they're going to crash the stock market. I'm telling you what's going to happen. And they're going to blame it on the Democrats. They're going to get Trump back in the office that way. It's all controlled manipulation. Trump saying, they're saying he's going to lose the election because the market's going to crash. No, he's not. It's going to be the biggest thing he's ever going to use as far as saying, hey, the reason the market crashed is because of what these crazy clowns did with this impeachment process, which wasn't even legal. I mean, now they're holding these hearings in secret. What are we, Stasi? The secret police? Are we the Nazis? What are we? We in Stalin's communist Russia? Or are we in Nazi Germany under Hitler? What the heck are we doing with secret meetings that you can't even face your accuser? You're not even allowed to cross testify, cross examine? Oh, this is a mess. But guys, it's all part of a political circus show, the Circus Clown Act of Washington, D.C. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Well, a lot of stuff for me to touch base on there. Yes, and one thing you have to understand, too, right now, we've seen this in Florida, is the massive influx of Puerto Ricans down here in the state of Florida. And it's interesting because I had a little argument the other day with somebody. I was discussing with them. I said, you know, when you go to Daytona and you go to Orlando now, the housing market is exploding so fast. They cannot keep up and making enough housing for the influx of people that are coming into this state right now. I mean, it's we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people migrating here from other countries. And the thing about it is, somebody's saying, well, you don't like Puerto Ricans, you're racist. And I said, first off, I said, I don't have anything against Puerto Ricans. Secondly, Puerto Rico is an unincorporated territory of the United States. It's not a race. Being a Puerto Rican is not a race. It is a nation. It is a unincorporated territory. I'm not racist against anybody from there. But what I'm saying is, it's irritating to me when I go to Daytona Beach and I talk to some of these individuals that have their Puerto Rican music blaring as loud as they can in their group of 40, 50, 60 people, Jeeps everywhere, their Puerto Rican flags hoisted up 20, 30 feet up in the air, everywhere as far as you can see, and then you make a comment about it, were you guys enjoying the United States? Did you guys come here from Puerto Rico? Oh man, Puerto Rico's awesome, blah, 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 this, that, here, and I'm going, well, quite frankly, guys, if the United States and Florida is such a horrible state to be in, and you guys are tired of getting your free money for 2 years, your free housing, your free food because of the hurricane that happened and the federal grants, why don't you just go back to Puerto Rico? If it's so horrific here, if it's such a garbage state to live in, why are you running around talking about how great Puerto Rico is? Why don't you just go back? That's just kind of my stance on it, because Florida's getting so overpopulated right now, you can barely even drive anywhere, much less travel without being stuck in traffic. And it's frustrating. But also, too, I want to touch base on something what Dad said as well. Remember, I talked to you guys almost 2 years ago. I brought you guys up on a lot of the information that was coming into me that Turkey was one of the number one producers of black market opioid pills. The heroin production in Afghanistan has bloated so high now that the sale of raw heroin has actually started to decrease in price because there's so much of it. The market can't even handle as much heroin's coming to the United States. That's why there's so many overdoses in the United States now with heroin, because they're not even have to cut it. They're getting it so cheap, they don't even have to cut it. They just sell it straight up. Opioids, if you guys know this, oxycodone, hydrocodone, those are they're synthetic opioids derived from the opium poppy plant. They're made by modifying thebaine, an organic chemical found in opium. All you have to have is a basic facility, and you can take thousands of pounds of raw heroin and you can synthesize it and start producing generic oxycodone pills. This was a topic that got brought up that nobody wants to bring up, on why so many people are still hooked on pills, so many people are still having deaths associated with opioids because they're still coming into the country, even when the doctors stop prescribing them. This was designed very specifically back in the 2000s. We talked about it in detail. So I don't know whether or not Turkey's involvement with that has anything to do with this in Syria, whether it has anything to do with Afghanistan, Iran. I don't know right now. I'm giving you the facts on what Turkey does. But as far as speculation, I don't know, but something's very strange going on there right now as far as, like Dad said as well, a verbal, blatantly verbal invite to essentially Turkey saying, hey, we're pulling out now. If you guys want to invade Syria, have at it. That makes zero sense to me, but again, there's always a hidden agenda that we haven't seen. And going back to what Dad said with the HPV vaccine, to take it another step further, this is very, very frightening almost. Helen Lombardo just wrote an article the end of last week discussing now that GlaxoSmithKline, the manufacturer of Cervarix, which is the HPV vaccine, is now conducting trials of two HPV vaccines on healthy 4 to 6 year old female girls in Latin America. The study involves girls from Colombia, Panama, and Mexico, and is basically going to be published in the new edition of the Pediatric Infectious Disease Journal. The stated rationale for injecting such young children with the HPV vaccine was this in the journal. The burden of the HPV disease is very high in Latin America. HPV vaccines licensed from 2006 offer protection against most HPV cancers. Barriers to optimal vaccine uptake are, however, lowering the impact of adolescent HPV vaccination programs. I wonder why. The barriers? Maybe because so many people die and so many people are severely injured, and you see these girls all across the country now that are hospitalized with Guillain-Barre syndrome directly from the HPV vaccine, sometimes within days of getting the shot, completely paralyzed, unfunctional, can't do anything, in some cases the rest of their life, as soon as they get the HPV vaccine. There's unbelievably weird to me that they're going now to 4- and 6-year-old girls, which makes me believe, and you've already seen, Dad brought you up to speed on it, the unbelievable manipulation from GlaxoSmithKline and Merck with the HPV vaccine goes far beyond any type of moral or ethic code in the pharmaceutical industry. What they have done with these placebos and the studies they've done is, in my opinion, I mean, just complete and total manipulation, 100%. So now they're going even lower and lower and lower. I mean, what are we going to have next? At your 2-year-old annual vaccine, they're going to start in mandating the HPV vaccine? Where is this going to go now? I mean, 4- to 6-year-old girls are being tested for this in Latin America, and it's ironic now in Japan. You guys remember Japan had a huge blowback, and essentially a lot of parents in the last couple of years have stopped getting the HPV vaccine as well for their children. It's crazy because the HPV vaccine rate was almost 70% as far as the children that got HPV vaccine in Japan in 2013. 70% of the girls and boys we're getting the HPV vaccine. It is now currently today less than 1% of the children in Japan are getting the HPV vaccine because Japan had enough. They started seeing all their kids run around with all these debilitating ailments, all these allergies, Guillain-Barre syndrome, the list goes on, including death. And they said, we're not going to inject this with our kids. Like Dad said, a lot of times, you know, cervical cancer is until your late 50s. So we're going to start injecting children now 4 to 6 years old with the HPV vaccine. The standard has 250 micrograms of aluminum per vaccine? Absolutely not. That was my take on that. Also, too, in other news, and this is something I wanted to bring up and really, really make sure you guys understand what's happening now in California. The aspect of gun confiscation is about to start in California. If you guys saw on Friday, and this is really important, you guys listen to me, if you guys live in California, on Friday, California Governor Gavin Newsom, the hardcore Democrat, signed 15 gun-related bills into law. One of those being expanded red flag gun laws. This is what they're each basically inching up towards in the entire United States, and this is what they want to do federally. They now, you guys remember how I've talked to you, how the red flag gun laws, if they implement it on you, they can keep your guns for up to a year, and then you can basically get them back after a year if you go to court, so forth. California now just expanded the duration of gun violence restraining order, red flag gun laws, to 5 years now. You are not allowed to own or possess any firearm or ammunition if you have a red flag gun law issued on you, basically a gun restraining order. 5 years they will seize your firearms for, and at any point in time in those 5 years, if you get caught with a firearm or any ammunition, you will be charged with a felony. This is not an accident they're doing this. And to take it a step further, as you guys know, majority of red flag gun laws are based primarily on family members, as far as if you have a spouse or an ex-spouse, if you have a family member, if you have somebody that was living with you, as far as a girlfriend or boyfriend, they can go in and apply for a red flag gun law to be, you know, issued on you. Now, in California, they have now allowed any employer, coworker, or employee, or teacher thereof to file a petition requesting a gun violence restraining order. Do you hear what I said? Employee or employer. That means if you have a disgruntled employee that basically you fired because they didn't want to work and they didn't want to come to work on time and they didn't want to do their job and you finally said, hey, bud, we're going to have to let you go. We're firing you. Now they can come back and they can say, hey, my boss, you know, I know he carries a Glock 19 with him all the time. I've seen it before in his truck. I've worked with him for 5 years. I think he's a danger to himself and others. He basically was very threatening to me and was very aggressive when he fired me, and I want to go ahead and get this issued. They will issue it immediately. They will seize his firearms, and he will no longer be able to own or possess a firearm, including his own, for 5 years in the state of California. They also took it another step further with gun sales. You are not allowed to buy more than one semi-automatic centerfire rifle in any 30-day period. period. You cannot buy two at one time. You cannot buy one and then another one two or three weeks later. 30-day wait period between any type of sales. And, of course, they followed Florida now, and no one under the age of 21 is allowed to purchase, basically, any type of rifle now, period. Handguns is already restricted. Rifles now, same thing they did in Florida, copied us on this. Florida set the template for this, and now we have basically one of our representatives, our senator, down here in Florida, who is now saying he wants to do expanded red flag gun laws. I'll talk to you about this last week. This is exactly what they're talking about doing now, making it pretty much applicable for anybody to file one of these petitions on you and take it to 5 years. Guys, this is gun confiscation. If you don't think this is about to take it a next step further, when you can start having just about anybody file a petition on you, full-blown snitch state, full-blown gun confiscation. 5 years now? 5 years. Remember with these, you're not charged with a crime. You were convicted of a crime. You didn't brandish a weapon. You didn't go out and threaten somebody. None of those have to occur. Remember that with this. You didn't get charged with a forcible felony while you were carrying a firearm. That didn't happen. Somebody simply thinks you're scary or they don't like you, and they go and file this petition on you. They immediately seize your firearms, and you can no longer get them back for 5 years now in the state of California. The only reason, in my opinion, that they're doing this right now in California is they're doing basically a soft disarmament of California. They're doing everything they can to make California as soft as possible. Now, a lot of people go off on this. They say it's going to happen with California, this and that. Obviously, we already know what's going on with China and stuff like that over there. If we were to ever have a ground invasion of the United States, it's highly likely that California would be the first ground zero as far as the invasion. California now pretty much will have no ability to defend themselves. Remember, you already have to get a background check to buy ammunition. You're already limited on how much ammunition you can buy. It's already a felony to possess a real AR-15, not this crap they have over there with these bullet buttons and all this other weird stuff that they require on it, with magazine that can't be detached, you have to load one bullet at a time. They already have all that. You can't even own a real AR-15. Now they're going to go in and take your firearms for any reason that they see fit for up to 5 years because somebody said something about you and they don't like you. This is the next step in gun confiscation. This is why I warn everybody about these red flag gun laws that are going on here in the United States, state by state by state. They're not going to stop with what they started with. They're going to expand them further and further and further. Next step, I guarantee you, they're probably going to come in and say, hey, we're going to do it for 10 years now. If you have a red flag gun law, you can't own a firearm for 10 years. And they'll keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And finally, they'll go in and say, if you have one of these ordered on you, we can extend it for your entire life. We're basically going to disarm you the rest of your life because you are deemed a danger to society because so-and-so is scared of you. You don't think it'll happen? Watch and see what's going on in California. California has always been the beta test for gun confiscation and gun restrictions in the state of Florida. And then to take it even a step further, we're seeing that more and more kids are being indoctrinated into this prison industrial system. I talked to you guys last Friday on the Hagman Show about a 12-year-old girl who was hauled off to jail and arrested at basically Overland Park in Kansas. It was a school in her middle school, 12 years old, because she made the gun finger, you know, with your index finger and your thumb like you're playing cops and robbers when you're 10 years old. She made that gesture at multiple kids in the school when one of the girls asked her, if you could kill 5 people in the class, who would it be? And the girl, being 12 years old, responded to her and pointed her thumb and her index finger out like a gun and pointed it to a few kids in the class. The teacher took her to the principal. The principal called the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department arrested her for unlawfully and felonously communicating a threat to commit violence with the intent to place another in fear or the intent to cause the evacuation, lockdown, or disruption in regular ongoing activities. This is a felony that would put her in jail for over a year at a juvenile detention center. You understand what I said there? A 12-year-old, for making the hand gesture of a gun, was now charged with a felony. I talked to you guys, remember, a couple weeks ago about the 6-year-old who was arrested, put in handcuffs, fingerprinted, and mugshotted because she had a temper tantrum in her second grade class. Then I got an article this morning here that goes into discussion of the arrest of children has skyrocketed in the last 10 years. They're saying now statistics compiled from 2013 to 2018, it's just 5 years, revealed more than 30,000 children under the age of 10 have been arrested now in the United States. That averages 6,000 children per year. Under the age of 10, guys, under the age of 10, single digits being arrested now. And a lot of these arrests all have stemmed from school behavior. To make it even more disturbing, students ages 10 to 12 have been arrested 266,000 children in the last 5 years, ages 10 to 12, have been arrested in the United States in the school system. A quarter of a million children ages 10 to 12. And most of the charges, if you look up the FBI report on them, they're stuff like this. Holding their hand like a finger, making a threat to somebody, getting in an altercation in a fight at school, mouthing off, using a racial slur to somebody in school. I mean, we're talking about petty stuff here. Being arrested, dropped in the prison industrial system as far as having to go through the court system, parents having to get an attorney, getting fingerprinted, getting mugshot, and forever having that in their system. Even if they get it expunged, it is still on their juvenile record. This is all being done to not only indoctrinate the children into being the good little slaves in the police state, it's also being done to absolutely terrify the younger generation to have anything to do with a firearm. Think about it for a second. This 12-year-old girl now that made the gesture with her index finger and her thumb, you know, looking like she's going to shoot somebody with her finger. Now, this rigmarole, probably going to be expelled from school, I'm going to guarantee she is, because she's got pending felony charges. Now her parents are going to have to get an attorney. She's going to have to fight this now and live in fear for the next 6 to 12 months while this goes through the court system. Do you think she's ever going to want to have anything to do with a firearm, ever? No, quite frankly, she's probably going to be terrified of firearms when she gets older. She's probably going to be one of those kids in 6 to 7 years that's going to get on a podium somewhere to rally and demand that the United States be disarmed, because no American should ever have the ability to own a firearm. This is what they're doing. If you give me your children, I will give you a nation. Those are the words from Adolf Hitler. This is exactly what they're doing in this country now. They're indoctrinating the children into be so scared of the police state, so fearful, so horrendously terrified of firearms and anything related to freedom, that these kids are going to beg to have their freedoms removed from them and their firearm rights restricted from them, Dad. And that's happening here in the great old U.S. of A.
Well, you know, the crazy part about Austin is, because I was born in the 50s, and I mentioned this last week, you know, I have a contrast. I know what it was like back in the 50s. I was speaking to a man just yesterday in Chicago, and he said, I'm so happy that I was born in the 40s. He was born in 1948. He was a security guard in the convention center that I went to on Saturday. And he goes, I'm so happy. He said, I had the best music, the best cars, the best everything, the best country. And I thought, you know, he's right. He's right. And I mean, I feel as though I should have been born 100 years earlier. I mean, what the heck, man? I mean, we see all of these crazy things that are happening in our life, and it's the programming. It's the programming of the youth. See, the youth don't have a contrast like I have. You know, I have the ability to look back and say, wait a minute, this isn't normal. This isn't right. You know, we shouldn't have a prison industrial complex. We shouldn't be scared to walk down the street at night without getting mugged, robbed, or arrested. We shouldn't have the ability, we shouldn't feel this way in our own country. And I warned everybody after 9/11 with the passage of the Patriot Act. I said, you don't understand what he just did, what George Bush did. This is not okay. This is going to be horrible. And then we have, of course, we ended with the National Authorization Act and all the other things they've come in with after that, and all these horrible things that they've done. Why? Under the guise of terrorism, because you can't win against terrorism. It's not an enemy. It's something that the deep state set up into perpetuity to basically keep us from going in and doing anything we wanted to do. In other words, if the deep state comes in and they do this to us on an ongoing basis, what ends up happening is we feel as though that we're always under a state of terror, that we're always in a situation where, you know, because we're terrorized, that we have to keep a security military complex at hand in the United States of America. And when we do that, we lose our freedoms. And it's so important to remember that. We lose our freedoms. And that's what we're doing right now. We're losing our freedoms little by little. When they come in and Schiff says and justifies that we're going to have basically let me give you an example. This happened to me. Years ago, we had a dispute in the neighborhood where, you know, we have these court cases that nobody knows about. And, you know, nobody has to cross-examine anybody. And I was asking for a conditional use permit on the property that I live in currently. This is like 25, 30 years ago. And they set up a date to have this conditional use permit hearing with the county commissioners. And I said, okay. Well, then what happened is I had to reschedule it because I was going to be out of town. So I rescheduled it, got the letter from them, said, okay, we're rescheduling this from like November the 1st to December the 1st. And I said, okay, great. So I went ahead and made my plans. I was out of town. And then they decided to have the meeting without me on November the 1st. And I wasn't even there to give testimony. My attorney wasn't there. Nobody was in there. I just didn't show up. And they knew they had done this. And they didn't care. And they voted against me for the conditional use permit. And you think, what the heck? See, I had that happen to me personally. When you have these clandestine meetings, these clandestine groups of people to get together somewhere, you know, probably in some clandestine site with clandestine robes, with some clandestine altar. I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying it's weird. And all of a sudden, they start making decisions for you and start basing those decisions on what you're going to do with your own personal private property, and you weren't even given a chance. And, of course, I rescheduled the meeting, and, you know, like 6 months later, and I got my conditional use permit after I got an attorney, had to pay $1,000 in fees to have the entire county commission hear this thing. It was ridiculous, guys. This happened to me personally. So when you start talking about clandestine meetings that you weren't invited to, it gets my attention. And don't get me wrong, I am not a Trump fan. You guys know that. I voted for him and I pushed it, but the red flag gun laws that he's pushed and the enhanced background checks that he's pushed, and he said he'd never touch our Second Amendment rights, I had enough of it. And this thing now with Turkey, this all this stuff that he's involved in and how he's doing things, it's just that he's a script. He's basically reading a script. It's the Circus Clown Act of Washington, D.C., and he's one of the Andre the Giants fighting Hulk Hogan. I told you that same analogy a dozen times. That's what we have going on right now. But in the meantime, we continue to feed the prison industrial complex. We need to realize this. The U.S. has both the highest number of prisoners and the highest per capita incarceration rate in the modern world. 655 adults per 100,000. Now, think about this, even higher than China. That means there's 2.2 million Americans in state and federal prisons. But, guys, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are currently 4.7 million Americans who are on parole in 2016, or one out of 56 Americans are in parole. This is nuts. These numbers do not include people on probation, which raises the number to 1 in 35, nor does it include all the Americans who have been arrested at one time or another, which is over 70 million, more than the population of France. Like 1 in 4 people, 1 in 5 people that have been arrested in the United States. Why? Well, that's a mess. But remember, for firearm owners, this is a real problem, because in particular, the growth in this prison industrial complex is troubling because felons are forbidden from owning firearms and ammunition under the 1968 Gun Control Act. As the number of laws have grown and cultural shift police has gone from a focusing on keeping the peace to enforcing law, more and more Americans are being stripped of their Second Amendment rights because they've been arrested and charged with a felony. This is happening all over the United States. Let me give you an example of this. There was a man a few years ago, I'm going to read you his little story, who basically was arrested. He's 66 years old. His name is George Norris. This is a good case study. He was supposedly smuggling orchids. Oh, my gosh. He was trafficking in rare orchids. Okay. He was meted. This gets screwed up, guys. He was greeted by three. Now remember, we're slinging $1.5 trillion of heroin all over the world through our bases in Afghanistan, and this guy's getting busted for having some flowers. 66-year-old George Norris provides a case study. He was greeted by three pickup trucks filled with six officers each, outfitted in flak jackets because he was carrying flowers. He was held for 4 hours while the police searched his house, eventually seizing 37 boxes of his things, with neither warrant or explanation. He was indicted for orchid smuggling. Okay, he's smuggling orchids. Under the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, he made false statements to the officers and for a simple paperwork error. In other words, he was processing the orchids through proper paperwork channels, made a mistake, said he didn't make a mistake. Okay. While he was being held for trial, he shared a cell with an accused murderer. He was facing 5 years for the original charge and 5 years for conspiracy because he couldn't afford his legal bills. He pleads guilty and he went to prison for almost 2 years for flowers. Now, because he made some false statements to the police, he of course was charged with all kinds of obstruction and lying and felonies to the police. Let me give you some advice. And this is really important. This is so, gosh, I don't even know how to say this. I'm not an attorney. I'm just giving you some personal advice. You have the Miranda rights, supposedly, here in the United States. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed to you. Now, they're going to suck as an attorney. Excuse my language, but they're going to be horrible is what they're going to be. But you're going to get an attorney. But you have that right. And you have the right to remain silent. And anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Okay, if you get arrested or you get questioned, shut up. You know, Roger Stone is facing prison time now, and I'm not a fan of Roger Stone. I'm not a fan of Roger Stone. But he's facing prison time right now because of making false statements that basically he could have not remembered properly, he could have lied, he could have twisted it, or whatever. He's being held now, basically, with this trial that's going on, this farce that he's going to have around him, because he made false statements. Guys, do you realize if they said, hey, Ted, back in 1981, you know, you did this, this, and this. And I say, okay, I may have done that. And it turns out that I didn't do that, or I did do that. And now they come back in and said, oh, you made a false statement. You knew you did that. And I'm like, I don't remember what happened in 1981. It was 40 years ago. They don't care. They get two or three other people testifying what you did in 1981, and you denied doing it because you don't remember it. Now you made a false statement. Isn't it best to say, I plead the fifth? Or better yet, let's do one. Let's take a cue from Hillary Clinton. You know, good old Witchy Benghazi. I don't remember. That's the easiest way to go. At least that way you're saying you don't remember. There's no law against having a crappy memory. Guys, learn this from these people that have been arrested and made statements to the people who are doing the investigations. If you got somebody show up at your house and somebody drops a dime on you because, you know, you grabbed your child by the wrist because they're about to run out into the street and get run over by a semi-truck, and they said you were abusing the child because you grabbed him by the wrist, you might want to say, hey, bud, let's talk to my attorney. I have to have my attorney present before we talk to you or anybody else who's doing an investigation on me. Why is that? Because when you show up with a representative from the court, which is what the attorney is, they snap tight and they realize you ain't no sweet duck. Uh-oh, I just said that, didn't I? You ain't no sweet duck, and you're not going to sit there and just let them do whatever they want to do to you. They're not going to have their way with you. You go, nah, we're not going to play that game. We're going to get my attorney involved. I appreciate you guys. If you're ever going to come, you want to come by for some pizza later on or whatever, I'll get you an organic pizza. But we ain't talking about this. You know, I got to have my attorney present. You don't have to be rude to them. You don't have to cuss at them. Just say, you know, guys, I appreciate you, but, you know, I know you're doing an investigation, but how about this? My attorney needs to be present right now. Because once you go in, years ago, I've told you this story. We had a girl basically got mad at us at Epcot. I have no idea why. She probably wasn't on her meds. She was in her 20s, mid-20s. She wasn't a girl. She's a woman. She had four or five other Jezebels with her. And they chased us across Epcot because they said we were laughing on a ride. I'm not even making this up. Orange County police were dispatched. I mean, it turned into a giant brouhaha. And then the girl made a false statement about Austin. You know, to the sheriff, to the Orange County Sheriff's Department. And I told the sheriff, I said, look, you better tell this girl there's a term called abusive process here in Florida. And I said, that means if you make a false statement intentionally to a police officer about somebody else, and you're proven to be perjuring yourself, that you have civil penalties that are due. In other words, you can be sued for that. And I told her, I said, you explain to this girl what's fixing to happen, that she and her little cadre of five Jezebel, probably lesbians, are going to be dragged off back from their state and have to be forced to testify down here. And he looked at me and goes, well, you know the law. I said, well, I know a little bit of the law. I said, but I'm not going to play this game with you. I said, Disney has cameras everywhere. And this assault that allegedly occurred, which never did, that she's lying about, I said, it's going to be on videotape that it never happened. And I said, plus this woman was in our face chasing us around the park, yelling at us because we had laughed on a ride. We weren't using bad language. We weren't even being loud. We'd laughed on a ride. We were having fun at a theme park. This lady's nuts. And you guys are actually encouraging her. I said, this isn't okay. So you tell her what's going to happen next. And he comes back over 5 minutes later and goes, well, she's changed her story. That's the end of this. And I'm like, yeah, what do you think? What do you think? Guys, know what your rights are legally. Be nice to the police officers. They're just doing their job. But guys, don't volunteer information to them. You know, if you were going down the road and you don't know what your speed was, you get pulled over. If he says to you, how fast were you going? Your response is, I don't know. Don't lie. Just say, I don't know. I wasn't staring at the speedometer when you hit me with a radar. I have no idea. It's easier to do it that way than it is to perjure yourself or to say things that aren't true. Just say, I don't know. Because you don't know exactly what your speed was. Was it 75.123? Was it 75.136? Was it 75.888? Or was it 77? You don't know. You don't know what the cruise control's fluctuating or whatever's going on. You have no idea what the actual speed was. So why do you want to say, oh, I was doing 78 miles an hour to 60 mile an hour zone? Okay, there we go. Now he says, has your testimony against you that you admitted to speeding, and now you're going to get a ticket. Now he shows up in court. Guess what he's going to say? Mr. Brower admitted to doing 78 to 60.
Yep.
Okay, why don't you – that's what they do. I'm telling you, guys, I'm telling you, this is what they do. You're doing a wheelie on a motorcycle. Doing a wheelie on a motorcycle. And you park your motorcycle in your friend's garage, and you're in there having a pizza. They show up, and they say, we've got reports of someone in this area doing a wheelie on a motorcycle. Okay, what does that have to do with me? Are you going to tell them, oh, it was me doing a wheelie on a motorcycle? You know what they're going to do? They're going to throw you in handcuffs and haul you off because you were reckless driving, and you just admitted to it. Guys, listen to me. They're trained to do this. They're trained to drag you off in handcuffs. They're trained to feed the military, or excuse me, the prison industrial complex. They're trained to do this, to make you a convicted felon to try to get your rights away to carry with guns. Guys, it's all happening around us, and that's the problem I have with Donald Trump, is because he is not doing what he said he was going to do. Why hasn't Hillary Clinton been prosecuted? Why hasn't the witch of Benghazi been prosecuted? She bleached her doggone files off her doggone internet. They know they've got the files. They have the files. Julius Assange released the files. They know what she did. They've got all the files. We've all read most of those doggone things, and we know how indictable she is. But guess what? Donald Trump hasn't gone after her. Why? Why hasn't that happened? Probably because they spent too much time and money making the name Hillary internationally known. And they need to have another Circus Clown Act election. And that's why Jeff Rentz, my friend, and Dave Hodges and a bunch of other people believe that Hillary's going to probably run again for the election against Trump and probably going to announce it next month. Well, is that going to happen or not? I don't know. I hope the witch of Benghazi doesn't show up. She nauseates me by looking at her. The woman makes me want to puke. I can't stand her. I can't even stand her face. I can't stand her. I can't stand her squeaky little voice. I can't stand anything about her. She's awful. She's like, it's like grating on sandpapers. It's awful what she does. But if she did run for president again, oh my gosh, would we be able to have a circus clown act in Washington, D.C. again? It would be the same paradigm they set up 2.5 years ago against Donald Trump, the savior, fighting the evil Clinton. Oh, there we go. Oh my gosh, will the circus clown act continue? Will the news media be unbelievably running? Who else are they going to run? Pocahontas? Nutty Elizabeth Warren? The lady's Looney Tunes. Bernie Sanders with his heart attack, with his hardcore communist values, are they going to put him up there too? Tulsi Gabbard was a pretty good candidate for Democrats, but now they've gone in and destroyed her through the New York Post. Why? Because they don't want her running. Anybody who wants to come in with some kind of moderate approach to being a Democrat and go back to what John F. Kennedy believed in, they got to make sure they destroy those people as quickly as they possibly can. Guys, it's so important to understand that you're being played. That you're being played. And while the 5G network continues to be put in all over the place, while this DARPA military product is being put into your neighborhoods, while your girls are being poisoned with Gardasil at 4, 5, and 6 years of age to go into ovarian failure, or perhaps never even go into proper maturation of their eggs, or never go into, you know, start ovulating. Who knows what's going to happen with that at 4 or 5 years of age? You know, while we're being sprayed with chemtrails like we're like a bunch of roaches, while they're still spraying people with, you know, malathion around the world as far as human beings, while they're still doing all of this stuff, we're supposed to sit back and go, oh, by the way, you know, is Hillary going to run? Oh, my goodness. You know, why?
No, this is obfuscation. They don't want us to think through what's really going on. They don't want us to think about the military-industrial complex and the prison complex. They don't want us to think about what's really going on with the Christians being slaughtered now in Syria by the Turks, which is the same thing they did with the Armenian genocide. They don't want us to think about what's really happening as far as this rebuilding of a third temple and the bringing of the Antichrist, as it says in Thessalonians when he announces himself God. They don't want us to think about any of that stuff. Keep the masses contained by giving them the bread and circus clown act that is Washington, D.C. politics. Austin, what do you think, bud?
It's ironic. I saw the old meme from a couple years ago when Hillary and Trump were having their debates, you know, and their back and forth, and Trump had all his good one-liners, and everybody was always hoorah, hoorah, Trump, and it was great. I mean, we all thought he was really going to do something different, and it was ironic because I saw the one again where Hillary goes, she's going on, she goes, well, and thank goodness we don't have you as president, and then he comes back and says, yeah, because if I was president, you'd be in prison. And everybody, you know, laughing and carrying on and all excited. You know, Hillary for prison, you know, jailer. She needs to go to jail, all this stuff. And it was on and on and on. And then he gets elected, and all of a sudden, like you said, it's, oh, they're pretty good people. You know, we just need to let them be in peace. It's like having Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. That's what it was. It was a movie. It was a big movie. It was a big stunt. It was a big set for everybody to go back and forth on it.
Good analogy.
And they played it perfect. And this is exactly what they're going to do again. Because like Dad said, if they try to put Bernie or any of these other guys up against Trump, Trump's going to wreck them again. But they want to have Hillary and Trump 2.0. I mean, they had some of the highest views of any mainstream media presidential debates ever. Ever in history, ever, between Trump and Hillary. Everybody watched it. Why? Because it was entertaining. I don't lie. It was fantastic as far as some of the stuff he said. It was great. Everybody's like, oh, this is awesome. Trump's killing her. He absolutely just has the best one-liners. He's going to win. He's going to send Hillary to jail. He's going to basically make America great again. He's going to restore our firearm rights. Everybody goes, yeah, all right. We all bought it, because why not? It was the best option we had at the time, but now we're all starting to see what's really going on and the lies and the clown show that have basically completely taken over up there. A couple of news stories I wanted to get up real quick, too, some fast ones here. Also be aware, this would be interesting to see if this actually comes through. The individual O'Keefe, one of the individuals that basically runs the Veritas Project. This is the one that got the whistleblower from Google coming out now and saying what Google does and collects everything in the building databases. Well, O'Keefe now wrote an article over the weekend, basically says this week, and I don't know if they're going to release it or not. I hope they do. But he says now that they have video footage from a CNN insider, in video footage from being inside the CNN headquarters, revealing officials at the highest level of CNN blatantly showing a political agenda, great bias towards conservatives and Christians, and huge misconduct hidden right in public view on video. So I really hope this comes out. Hopefully wake up a few people about what a propaganda site CNN is, but we'll see. Veritas has some interesting stuff come out. Also, too, in health news, something I wanted to touch base on, the proton pump inhibitors. We've talked about them so much. These are for acid reflux. These are the compounds that people take all the time, the PPIs, doctors prescribe, and you can now get them over the counter now. According to the American Cancer Society, the number of people diagnosed with liver cancer has more than tripled since 1980. Around 42,000 new cases are diagnosed each year for liver cancer. While lifestyle and factors, obviously drinking, not taking care of yourself, liver cancer can play a very crucial role in that. But the new study now that is published in the Pharmacology and Therapeutics found that patients who use proton pump inhibitors long-term, such as Prilosec, basically more than a year or more, were 83% more likely to develop liver cancer than those who did not take proton pump inhibitors. The researchers' findings confirmed the results of earlier studies, which found that rats exposed to PPIs more likely to develop liver tumors. This is a huge study, guys, and you have to understand, this is something that we've talked about so many times. These proton pump inhibitors, even the scientists that developed these drugs, blatantly came out on the record and said proton pump inhibitors are never designed to be used long term. They were never designed to be used for that. We did not know the health health risks or the problems that are going to be associated with these. They are designed to be used for 2 to 4 weeks max to heal an ulcer or heal some type of gut issue that you basically have with inflammation to reduce the acid. Proton pump inhibitors are never supposed to be used long term, yet I get emails and phone calls every week on people that are hooked on these things, and they try to come off of them, and they start having diarrhea, they start having all this acid. These are serious compounds that you're putting in your body, and they're not fixing the problem, they're just masking the symptoms, and now we're seeing 83% higher rate of liver cancer for people that take proton pump inhibitors than those who do not. The digestive enzyme blend is something that we use on a regular basis that can really aid in digestion. I know Dad's also his protein shake that you put together, Dad. We have that whole formula on the website. That's helped out significantly with your acid reflux as well, correct?
It completely got rid of my acid reflux, Austin. I was having to take digestive enzymes with every single meal, and it's completely gone. I don't have any problems. In fact, I can go sometimes 3 and 4 days without even using the protein shake as long as I get back on it right away, and I still don't have any acid reflux. And I was having all kinds of heartburn pains. And that. And you know, guys, I had pericarditis when I'm 27. You start getting chest pain. You start thinking about, oh, my gosh, oh, no, not again. So it was a big deal to me. And so I learned the hard way that, you know, there's certain things you've got to do in order to keep your gut healthy and your digestion process doing good. And that is not reducing the amount of acid it requires to digest food, which then decreases the amount of nutrients that your body gets into your system, which increases the risk of cancer, especially if you're not getting enough A, D, E, K, selenium, all these different things from your diet. It's so important that you understand that these things are temporarily to be used and not. I had an article also, but I'm out of time, about how farmed salmon could be the most toxic food in the world. We'll cover that tomorrow. Guys, I love you. I had the opportunity to pray for you this morning. You guys are absolutely awesome. Thank you for your support of Health Masters. Thanks for getting your supplements from us. Thanks for being here. Thanks for praying for us. I love you guys. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. And again, thank you again for all the support and all the emails. We really appreciate everything. If you guys need anything, be sure to check out the website, healthmasters.com. We're getting some updates on there right now. Be sure to vote for the product of the week that you want to see win. We got some really, really good products on there that are up for voting that'll be changing over on Wednesday. And also, too, if you want to grab a bottle of the Ultimate Multiple Chewable, that's on sales product of the week now, over 10% off. Really, really popular product. Tastes fantastic. Tastes like sweet tarts almost, but they're actually really healthy for you. Great for kids, great for adults. Check them out on the website, healthmasters.com. Thank you again for the support. And guys, please stay prepared, stay awake. Continue to wake up as many friends and family as you can. Just get at least small snippets of the truth out and wake people up. Just a little bit can produce a lot of positive results long term. So again, thank you for that. Sign up for our free weekly newsletter at healthmasters.com. Everyone be safe. Have a blessed, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.